Praise the Lord. It's good to see all you guys out this morning. Praise the Lord. Having a good time. Losing yourself in Him. Father, I thank you for the people who came out. I thank you for your rain. I thank you, Father God, that we have more than enough. And I thank you that you're with us no matter what's going on in our life. I thank you, Father, that you knew everything we were going to go through. And you already strengthened us and gave us the courage and the wisdom and the understanding to do the things that you're calling us for to do. And Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, yesterday I preached up in Maryland at the Women's Aglow, but what God had me teach on the giftings. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I want to, this applies to us too. And at the very, very end, you know, when I turned it over to the lady and I sat down, all of a sudden God just started to move. Well, the young man blew the shofar and he was sitting right behind me. And an anointing hit me to prophesy. And I started prophesying and I was weeping. And God was asking the people to please surrender all to him. And so he could use them as warriors to do his work. Something to that effect. Did you get that? Was that recorded, Brother Christopher? It was not recorded. But anyhow, God was he was weeping so hard, begging those people to please believe what he told them today about their giftings so he could use them. So I'm telling you that your Father is crying and weeping over you, begging you to please understand you do have giftings inside of you, and he wants you to yield everything to him so he can use you for his glory. All right. Now, we blame everything on the devil, right? Well, I want to read this little piece that I pulled off of somebody's word. They were writing something. So he said, I forgot what state this is in, but they were having a lot of rain. I'll tell you in a second. Atlanta. All right, Atlanta was having a lot of rain in this year that he was talking about. And he said a newspaper came out with a headline, something to the effect of, as in the days of Noah. And, you know, that just struck me there because when I was first born again in 1977, God said, daughter, you are living in the days of Noah. And now everybody seems to be talking about we're living in the days of Noah, all right? And we know what that was all about. The world was wicked. Only one righteous, you know, and that was Noah and his family. And then the flood came. It was an amazing but scary confirmation of the message I had begun to preach that Monday afternoon. That Monday afternoon I was in prayer and saying, Lord, that was an amazing way for you to confirm the message, but I think perhaps I need to ask you to stop the rain. See, I want you to listen to what he's saying. I need you to stop the rain as it is way too much. As I said that to the Lord, I clearly heard from him, that wasn't me, which sent a shudder down my spine. I said, what do you mean it wasn't you, Lord? Was that the devil? He said, no, it wasn't him either. I was now more confused, and then he clarified, it was creation itself. They have been waiting to hear a message that lines up with the great thing I will do with my rising sons and daughters. It was creation itself that caused this. I then remembered Romans 8:19, creation groans and travails for the manifesting of the sons of God. We are often waiting for Jesus to return, but creation itself knows the correct narrative. The sons and daughters of the king must rise and reverse the curse before he returns. And then he gave Acts 3:21. Jesus, now listen to this, Jesus held in the heavens until the restoration of all things spoken of by his servants, the prophets. I then said, oh, wow, okay, Lord, so you can get creation to cut out this rain. See, he said, you can do it. It is great as a sign to what will happen, but it is now dangerous here and we need it to stop. There was a rain forecast to fall all week now, and the flooding would have been unimaginable. The Lord spoke back, you tell them. They responded to you to start with. So at about 4 p.m. Monday, I went outside in the rain with my shofar and I spoke out loud. Creation, I am so glad you were excited to hear that what you have longed for is actually going to happen. But when I blow the shofar, I need you to stop raining as it is presently too much. I then blew the shofar, and within a half hour, the rain had totally stopped. And it didn't rain the rest of the week, contradicting the extended forecast. Normal rains then followed after that, and that week is known as the week that officially broke the Great Atlanta Drought. You got that? Come on. That excited me. It's time we do something about it. Quit blaming everything on the devil and on God, and we do something about it. This morning I'm going to teach on how to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has often been likened to wind. In Ezekiel 37, God places the prophet Ezekiel in a valley full of dry bones and tells him to prophesy to the wind. What did this wind look like? It must have looked like a tempestuous wind because the bones in the valley all started flying around and coming together. The sound of bones flying through the air and connecting with each other must have been dramatic. I would think so. The incredible thing about the wind is the order in life that resulted. As Ezekiel prophesied, not only did the bones start moving and coming together, flesh also came on the bones and breath filled the bodies. As if this wasn't enough, the wind ordered the now living bodies into a vast and mighty army. The original bones had nothing to do with the whole process. They simply existed as dry bones with no power or life of their own. You see that? And who told Ezekiel to prophesy to those dry bones? God. God gave him a command to do, and he did it. If we jump forward 500 years from Ezekiel's vision, we arrive at the day of Pentecost. Like Ezekiel's vision, there is also a tempestuous wind. This spirit wind had a similar result, the formation of an army of witnesses. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. See that? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So those of you who say that you have the Holy Spirit live within you, then you have the power. I had a dream early this morning, and in this dream I was walking up and I was commanding the devil to come out of people, and the people started shaking and the devils just started screaming and came right out of them. And then I got excited and I went to the next one, you know, and I said, come out in the name of Jesus. And they shook and out come the devils. And then God said, you have more power and authority than you are giving yourself credit for. So see, we all have more power and authority than we are giving ourselves credit for, and we have to start using that power to destroy the enemy's camp and to make him leave us alone. There is a significant difference between the bones of Ezekiel's vision and the 120 people that God filled with his spirit on the day of Pentecost. The bones were not positioned to catch the spirit wind that blew in the valley. They were scattered helplessly all over the place. Now the 120 on the day of Pentecost had positioned themselves to catch the spirit wind. There is much we must learn from them about how to position ourselves to catch the wind of the spirit. The spirit of God is always moving. You have to understand that. In fact, it says that the wind was moving right back at the beginning of Genesis, in Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. We need to understand here this morning that the Spirit of God is always hovering over us. He's always there to come to our assistance, to lead, guide, and direct us. We have an angelic host standing with us also. And that angelic host is waiting for us to command them to go forth and do a works for us. But yet we sit by idly by and we allow the enemy to keep harassing and harassing and harassing. And we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is constantly there to come to your assistance. The Spirit of God is moving with a fresh wind in our day, but it is interesting to note that He rarely does things alone. In the beginning, the Spirit waited for God to speak before He brought creation into being, although He was already moving before God spoke. Likewise, God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the wind. Here is a picture of God and the prophet and the Spirit working together as one. Who was it? God, the prophet. You're the prophet, right? And the Spirit working together as one. The Holy Spirit works together with the Father and the Son and with us. For the purposes of God to be fully accomplished on the earth, we have to learn how to move in sync or in step with His Spirit wind. These are a few things we need to know in order to catch the manifest wind of the Spirit. Number one is obedience. Jesus gave the disciples very clear instructions in Acts 1, 4, and 5. See, some of you need to go back to your tapes, if you still have them, and see what instructions God has given you. You'll find out that's what's keeping you from receiving what God has for you. Acts 1, 4, and 5. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. This is Jesus was assembled with them, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You have heard from Me." For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. See, Jesus told them exactly what to do. The first question we must ask is, what is God asking me to do? You know, each one of us individually, what is God asking me to do? It is then our responsibility to obey Him. If God seems to be saying nothing, it might help to ask yourself, what was the last thing He asked me to do? Now, I'm going to tell you, I wrote that because sometimes God would say, I know somebody wants to have a word from the Lord. He said, I'm not going to speak them because they have not done the last thing I told them to do. So why should I waste my breath? All right. Go back to the place where you deviated from His prompting and take the direction He indicated. One very important area of obedience is to ask God for His Holy Spirit. In Luke 11:13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So if you say, well, I don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit, well, just ask for the Holy Spirit then. He is a good Father, God is a good Father, and He delights to give us good gifts. If we ask Him for the Holy Spirit, He will give us the Holy Spirit. Wait, and that's why I can't do this here. Now, whenever I say, ba, 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 boo, 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 you go ahead and start speaking. You know, just ask for the Holy Spirit, and He'll come upon you. Amen. You know, I mean, I'm not putting that down. I can't do that. Because I just can't do that, but I see people doing it all the time. But I have found out that if you really just pray about it and let it come upon you, it's real and it stays. And you can, you know, and it's a language. It's not just a boo-boo and a bah-bah thing, you know. Or whatever it is they say, you know, they're telling you to speak in tongues. And I think that what happens is, people just get so excited about that they have the gift and they want everybody else to have it, that people, whenever, I know for a fact that people stand before a leader and they'll just say any old thing just to act like they have the Holy Spirit and they didn't receive anything. Then they leave empty, they leave dry, all right? It's like when the Rhodes sisters were here, they said, where's the pastor? Pastor Kipper, help me. And I thought, no, I'm not getting involved in that. Because, see, I didn't have the faith to believe that whenever you that it was going to happen to you. So I just stayed right back there in the corner, and I let them go ahead because they were doing a very good job of it. Amen? I know when to stay out of the picture. All right, so He is a good Father, and He delights to give us good gifts. If we ask Him for the Holy Spirit, He will give us the Holy Spirit. Waiting is not passive. It includes asking. And James 4:2, you lust and do not have, You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And then there's a scripture said, whenever you do ask, sometimes you ask amiss. And that's why you don't have it. Number two, spiritual nakedness. During the 10 days before the Holy Spirit came, the 120 realized that without God, they were utterly helpless. The body of Christ doesn't understand that. Consider, Jesus had been taken into heaven, and the Holy Spirit had not yet come. There was no Jesus and no Holy Spirit at that point. Often before God moves in a significant way, there is a period of time when everything we have depended on is stripped away and we are left with nothing. Amen. Come on, guys. This is a test of obedience. Will we continue to wait and ask for the Holy Spirit, or will we give up? That's whenever he's teaching about the winter months. You know, this is what happened. God stripped us of everything, and we were being tested. Are we going to hang in there when we don't feel nothing, we don't see nothing, we don't hear nothing? Are we going to stand in there, or are we just going to say, well, that didn't work, and walk on? We must realize that without him, we are nothing. As Zechariah the prophet prophesied, Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What does it say? Not by might, not by your own might, not by your power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Billy Graham, one of the most renowned evangelists of the 20th century, has said that if the Holy Spirit were taken away, 90% of the church would continue with business as usual. Amen. All right. Y'all have to tell, you know, when we was up the road yesterday, there was a gentleman there that wasn't used to the prophetic, you know, and neither was the woman that was with him. And when we was getting ready to leave, he said, may I speak to you? And I said, sure. He was sort of a, he looked like a lumberjack. God called him a lumberjack, you know. And he said, can I speak to you? And I said, sure. And he looked at me, and I just grinned. And I knew he was speechless. And he said, wow. And I just stood there, and then he said, awesome. And he was trying to say something, you know. And then he said, wow. He says, do you do this all the time? He said, awesome. And then he said, you have a dialogue with God? And I said, yes. He said, wow. You know, Sister Nancy did the, I took her and, you know, Nancy Connell, and she did the prophesying, but he said, awesome. I sat there and God spoke to me and told me everything about myself. He says, is this what you do all the time? I said, yeah. He said, wow. You know, this, he, all he knew was wow and awesome. You know? He said, I've never seen this before. And it was awesome, though, you know, just to watch the people, because it was usually the same group of people, but it was a different group of people. And people that Sister Adel brought them, she tells, she said, I tell everybody about the church, to her, but they have to go there because you're just so different. She said, I just tell them they have to go and experience you one time. I don't know if that was good or bad. But and then the other lady that was with him, she had never, ever, ever been around that. And it just blew her away. She just couldn't believe it. So I'm saying all that to say this. You need the Holy Spirit is what I'm trying to say. And you need to be anointed. You need to get out to go to this. Just like, you know, I was shocked. You know, these people had never been around the prophetic before. Never. And I thought, wow. Well, here I am wowing now. You know, I just didn't know there was people out there that had never been around the prophetic. And they were just so astounded. And then, of course, you know, the fact that they spoke right into their life, you know, and hit every aspect. Truth, you know, that just totally blew them apart. So do you see what you have to give to people? Do you understand now that there are actually people out there that don't have what we have? They don't enjoy church like we enjoy church, you know. And God is with us, is trying to get us together too, so that we, you know, we get the anointing and we surrender all to him, so we can, he can send us out so we can minister to people that are destitute of the Holy Spirit. You're not just sitting here because you just decided to come to church. You're sitting here because God said, I will send in ministers to you. You will train them, and then they will go forth and minister my word for me. You're here to be trained to receive the Holy Spirit so God can then send you forth and use you. And you need the Holy Spirit for it all. And the Holy Spirit came there so strong yesterday that Nancy had to hold me up. I couldn't even walk. You know, God's anointing was so great and so powerful. He's always faithful. And I didn't have a message. I did have a message, sort of, but I didn't have anything like I'm teaching you. He just said, you know, I said, well, okay, what do you want me to do these people? Because every time I get a message together, he never uses it. He said, just tell them about the giftings. So I looked up the scriptures of giftings and taught on that, you know, and reread the scriptures and just whatever God had to say. And then God's anointing just flowed through that place like you wouldn't believe. Why? Because I was obedient. I told Brother Christopher, I said, this is the first time I haven't ever labored over anything to do. I just went. I didn't lose sleep over it or nothing. No, I didn't pray all night long. I just went because I just knew he was going to be there when I got there. And that's a breakthrough for me, in case you don't know, because of my wilderness experience. And so, see, this is what, you'll come to a place when the Holy Spirit is so strong in you that you, and that's the way I used to operate. And then I went through my dry spell, and I was excited because I just knew God was going to be there, and he did show up in a wonderful way. And he did some wonderful things. So, guys, come on. And even when I was ministering, they come up front for me to minister to them. You know, a couple of times I told the devil to get out. I could feel they were bound up, but we didn't go into any deliverance thing. We just told the devil to come out. But see, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you don't have the wisdom and discernment, you're not going to know that, and you're not going to help anybody. Amen? Come on. The people left different than when they came. So, you know, this is what it should be like. Every time you go, you should be different than when you came. All right, the third thing is unity. The scriptures are clear that unity precedes the outpouring of the Spirit. How long have God been teaching us about unity? Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So if we all get in one accord, in one place, the spirit wind can rush through here and knock us all on the floor for 6 hours. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You roast you have in the oven will burn. And if you're going to work, you'll be marked tardy. And, you know, we'll be laying out in the spirit. Many times I have seen moves of the spirit hindered or stopped by disunity. That used to happen a lot in here. Two of the most common ways I have seen this happen is through a critical spirit of jealousy. And God even had me address that yesterday there about people will be jealous of your anointing. And I hope that there's not a soul in this room that's jealous of anybody else's anointing, because I've taught you we're all unique individuals. God uses us with our personalities to do what he wants to do. You couldn't do what I do. And I sure couldn't do what Sister Nancy Willis does. You know, we have to have our own, know who we are, and we have to be, let God use us as we are. Each one of you in here need to understand this. You can't dance like Grace dances, because God's anointed her with a special anointing to do that. You know? So we don't be jealous of one another. We work together in unity. See, all right, let's put, if you're in unity with one another, you know, wasn't it with Moses, you know, his father-in-law told him to give some of his anointing to the people. And I remember one day God told me he put my anointing on Sister Nancy. And so, see, I wasn't jealous that he gave some of my anointing to her. I was just happy that somebody else was being anointed to do the works that God has to have done. All right, and see if each one of us will feel like that and not care if God, because I know my God, he just gives me more. Whatever you give out, he returns double fold. So I wouldn't worry about what he takes from you to give to somebody else, because he's going to, and I know one thing, he's done something different with me, and I know he's taken me down a different avenue, and so he has to train other people to do what I do. And so as you go out there and you start working, you understand that God is going to use you to do different things. And so he has to give your anointing to somebody else, because you're going to get a different anointing. All right? And don't be jealous about it. Let's just walk on in unity and do the things that God has us to do. When the Holy Spirit moves in a tangible way, invariably there are those who are visibly touched and those who are not. As soon as he moves in a tangible way, it becomes difficult to hide. And once the Holy Spirit really hits you, you're not going to be able to hide that anointing because it's just going to pop right on up there. If a person has hardened their heart because of hurt, bitterness, unforgiveness, or anger, and is determined to hang on to their offense, they will invariably end up criticizing those who are enjoying the fresh wind of the Spirit. Say that again. If a person has hardened their heart because of hurt, bitterness, unforgiveness, or anger, and is determined to hang on to their offense, they will invariably end up criticizing those who are enjoying the fresh wind of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to inject something here, because I've witnessed this. Some people get jealous because they've been crying out and crying out and crying out to God for an anointing, and they haven't received it, so then they get jealous of the person that does have it. And what that does is it binds you up, so you're not going to receive what you're crying out for. God might be making you wait for a reason. You know, so don't get mad at the person that's having a good time in Christ while you're sitting there pouting and carrying on because you haven't, all right, I've done this, Lord, and I've done that, Lord. Now, why aren't you doing what I've asked you to do? Well, there might be something else you have to do, or it just might be, you know, God says he will move upon whomsoever he will, and he has a perfect timing for everything. All right? Come on. But like he told me, you cannot make my glory fall, because I've tried that. He said, when I'm ready for it to fall, it'll fall. You know, I begged and pleaded, and he said, you might as well quit all that because I'm not going to drop it until I'm ready to drop it. So, well, I was really trying to save face, really, because I've been saying it for, what, 8 years? But he told me, he said, don't grow weary in telling him. And so I've been trying to beg him, come on, just get this, let's get this thing on the road. But don't do that to God either. Just be patient and be patient. And be patient and allow him to move when he desires to move. All right, the criticism is often directed at the manifestations that happen when the Spirit moves. But the real issue is one of the heart. Your heart's not right. We're talking about when you get jealous of somebody else has an anointing and you don't. Likewise, if a person's heart has become hardened, they will easily become jealous of others if others are being visibly touched, but they are not. In order to maintain unity, heart issues have to be addressed. You know, you're going to have to examine your own heart and find out what is in my heart that's stopping me from receiving the anointing that other people are receiving. It is important to delight in what God is doing with others and at the same time stay hungry for God ourselves. Now, see, I'll just use this as an example. Like, I took Sister Nancy with me Saturday. Yeah, it was Saturday. And I took her for a purpose. I wanted her to be seen. I wanted her to become known. And I allowed her to do all the prophecy, the prophetic. And I bet God did use me when I had the people lined up. I prophesied to a few people. But she did all the prophetic. Now, and people were oohing and awing, you know, that God used her so mightily and that she was right on with everything. Of course, which is God, you know. Now, did I get jealous? Absolutely not. And I even told them beforehand that she was mightily anointed of God as a prophetic, as a writer and everything. Now, a lot of people wouldn't have done that. They would not have taken somebody else with them and let them do because they would want all the glory. I don't need the glory. God needs the glory. And God has showed me that her and Brett are to be out on the road teaching. And so she has to be exposed to that. Brother Brett was busy here or he'd have been there too. So you see, I really believe this is why God uses me to train people because I'm not jealous of what he does for you. Okay? All right, I said, it is important to delight in what God is doing with others and at the same time stay hungry for God ourselves. Supplication. Supplication. Before the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the disciples occupied themselves with a specific type of prayer called supplication. Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Kenneth Hagin states in his book, The Art of Prayer, the nature of supplication is much more heartfelt than a casual request. The word supplication means a humble, earnest entreaty or request. It means that you're going before God humbly asking him for something, just not simply praying. If a request is not made in a heartfelt, fervent, and earnest manner, it would not be considered supplication. And I think one of the daily words just recently was about supplication. This type of prayer is a desperate cry which issues from the deepest yearnings and desires of the human heart. Now, you've all did supplication prayer. You just probably didn't know what it was called. When you've cried out to God from the very depth of your heart and, you know, for him to do something. The issue is not simply clocking up hours in prayer, but rather being desperate for God. All right, number five is expectancy. We're talking about what does it take to get the wind of the Holy Spirit, all right? Expectancy. Jesus told the disciples in Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. They were expecting the Holy Spirit to come, and they were expecting him to come in not many days. What have I told you? Come with your expectancy, expecting God to move. Every service we should be expecting for the glory to drop. We invariably end up with that which we expect. If you walk in and think, well, God's never going to do anything for me, and why do you bother coming, then you're not going to get anything. You have to be expecting God to move. If we have an expectation for a small measure of the Holy Spirit, we will most likely end up with only a small measure. God said, I always think too small. He wants me to think big or largely. So I've been thinking really large lately. So each one of you should too. Don't be content with just a small dose. Want the whole dose of the Holy Spirit. If, on the other hand, we have an expectation for a big measure of the Holy Spirit, we are far more likely to realize our expectation. Consider also that the disciples didn't know exactly what to expect because this was the first time he came in this way. So they were just being obedient. He told us to sit here and wait and not to leave until the Holy Spirit came. God is creative, and we can expect him to move in creative and diverse ways. This unknown aspect should heighten rather than lessen our expectancy. You know, and God told me, he said, my people put me in a box. They tell me how I should move. And he said, they should just let me move the way I want to move, and I can move more freely and more often. So, you know, I don't care how he comes, just come. Amen. And you don't care how you get blessed. You just want the blessing. You don't care how he meets your financial need. Just meet it. You know, don't say, well, you know, Sister Barbara there, she has $1 million. Let her give me half of it. You know, people do stuff like that, you know, and I don't have that, but you know, I'm just using that as an example. You know, just God, however way you want to bless me, I'll receive it. You know, come on. I always think about Kenneth Copeland's kids. They wanted a boat. He said, well, we can't afford a boat. You just have to go before the Lord and get your own boat. And so they each went to prayer about a boat, and a knock came to the door a couple weeks later, and somebody said, you know, God told me to bring this boat by. Next thing you know, somebody else knocked on the door, and they said, God told me to bring this boat by. Well, each kid wanted a different type of boat, and they got their boats. You know, he said, just pray and believe God to give them to you. And that's what they did, and they received two boots. All right, number six is the fire. When the Holy Spirit came, one of the manifestations was tongues of fire. And that's in Acts 2, 2 and 3. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. I'm going to stop here because sometimes you guys are laying on the floor. I'll say, God, just let your fire, let them feel your fire burning through their bones. Or, you know, I'll say something like that, you know. And, you know, and so I don't know if you feel anything or not, but, you know, I just want whatever comes to mind, I just pray over you, because I want you to feel something or see something when you're down there. So I said, God, if I'm praying amiss, let me know. But he never said not to do it. But, you know, I just want you guys to receive something, experience something. Other than laying there on the floor is not dirty anymore because Sister Barbara Alsap's been shampooing it. You know, she's got all the dirt and gunk out of there. But, you know, I think you need to receive something when you're on the floor. Except ants crawling on you or something like that, right? Little mice running around. Now, see, when you come up, or do you expect God to do something if you go down? Or you just say, well, she said to come up, so I'm going up. Well, that's obedience, so, you know. But I just would not come up here empty-minded. I'd be on the way up here. I'd be telling God what I expected when I got down there. All right, we see here there was two manifestations. There was wind and fire. When wind and fire combine, everything is consumed in the fierceness of the blaze. When wind and fire, what did God say yesterday? He said, I'm bringing the blood and the water and the fire. He told these people when I prophesied, when I had them up there laying hands on them. It wasn't just a fire. It wasn't just a blood, but it was the blood, the water, and the fire. He made a mixture. We have to ask ourselves the question, are we willing for God to come with wind and fire? God's fire exposes the heart. Come on, God's fire exposes the heart and it consumes sin. Fire hurts. Give me your fire, Lord. Next thing you know, you're going through all kinds of hell. You know, you feel like your guts are being tore out of you, everything else. He's burning that junk out of you. You ask for it, then you're complaining. What am I going through? If we want the Holy Spirit to stay around, we have to be prepared for the fire. God's been talking a lot about the fire lately, has he not? You guys, whenever you send down the fire, Barbara Alsop, a gentleman, say, fire, fire, send down the fire, you know? I don't think you really understand what you're doing when you do all that stuff. Blow them away, Lord. Right? You have to experience something or you're not going to follow God. It is for this reason that many people are prepared to say, come, Holy Spirit, but not nearly so many are prepared to say, stay, Holy Spirit. Yeah, because when God starts his process, you say, oh, I didn't know that I had to go through all this to keep the fire. So I said, it is for this reason that many people are prepared to say, come, Holy Spirit, but not nearly so many prepared to say, stay, Holy Spirit. That's like when we get excited, first get born and get excited for God. And we read where he said, here I am, Lord, use me. And when I read that, I said, here I am, God, just use me. Please use me. Well, you know, hell broke loose in my life. I said, God, what's this all about? He said, I heard you when you said, use me, Lord. He said, this comes with it. Come on. So the minute you say, use me, the devil says, oh, really now? You really think that I'm going to allow God to use you? And so then he starts. And a lot of people stop because they can't go through what they have to go through to really be used by God, because it hurts. You know, it does all kinds of things. You get disillusioned. But God said, well, whenever you said, here I am, use me, this comes along with that. So I'm telling each one of you in here that God's so excited and cocky and, you know, jumped over here. I am, Lord, use me. Well, you're getting what you asked for. You're being used and abused. God's using you and the devil's abusing you, right? God threw that in there, so I thought I would too.